Talk. Discourse by Mrs. E. G. White at Workers' Institute, Oakland, California. Oakland, California, March 21, 1910. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This we shall realize. Therefore we want to be every one of us in our proper order to know how to meet the spirit of Satan, which will come in various ways. The spirit of Satan will come to some and cause them to think that they are not thought as much of as they ought to be. And others will think some other way and will consider that they are not exalted as they should be. Now, is it any of our business to be working on such lines as these? Is it not best to serve the Lord in all simplicity of mind, in meekness, looking not to this one and that one and the other one, for fear they will get ahead of us? We cannot afford to do this. What we want is to follow Jesus, and we have the Word of God saying, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. If we will submit ourselves to Christ, to follow on to know the Lord, we shall know that his going forth is prepared as the morning. Hosea 6, verse 3. We do not see the whole flood of light when the morning dawns. We see a little at a time, and should be thankful for that little. And if that little light comes from God, if he is the source, we shall have a great deal more. What we want is the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if we will only this simplicity, we shall, just as surely as Christ is our Savior, obtain the victory. As long as we cling to Christ, Christ clings to us, though we see so much that the enemy will introduce. One has recently written that they have decided to have ball playing at the office in Washington. We have no time for such things. All around Washington, there is settlement after settlement in every direction. In their spare time, these students should take their Bibles in their hands and go right into the humblest cottages and talk the truth and pray with them. In this way, they will gain confidence in one another. There are those in that vicinity that the light must come to, and in other places as well. The world is to be worked. The gospel is to be preached to every creature. If they will hear and understand, they may be converted. But in order for the gospel to do its work, every worker must go to Jesus and cast his helpless soul upon him. Do not think that you must be exalted. All we are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. If we will seek the Lord with all our hearts, we will know of the doctrine. We have the word, and we are to walk with all humility of mind in accordance with that word. And if we do this, we shall certainly have evidence that we are children of God. The most perplexing subjects are presented to my mind that I must present to the people. How do I know how it will be received? I do not stop to know. If it is God's will that I should speak of these things, he has an object in it. What we want is to walk humbly with God. We are. There are many of us. We want to feel that we shall be made first and have much attention paid to. What are we? We are only servants. Do not envy another. Do not think that. Think of the precious souls that are perishing in their sins. There are souls, precious souls, that must be reached, and every one of us should be so consecrated to God that we shall understand that it is for us to walk in all humility of mind, and then we can address ourselves to those that need us most. God wants to do a mighty work for you right here in Oakland. My husband and I came to this place when there were but three or four Sabbath keepers in the city, and the Lord would meet with us in private houses. After a little time, people began to take knowledge of us. We kept humbly before God, and soon we began to have additions to our number. One favor after another would be granted us, until we were able to get that meeting house in San Francisco. And we thought we were wonderfully favored to be able to get a meeting house established. I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, the best way we have found to work is to go right ahead, looking not to this one and to that one, but to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Do not forget that He is the finisher as well as the author.
We shall have hard battles to fight, but what we want is to hide ourselves in the Lord Jesus and follow on to know the Lord. But I am so afraid that we are not becoming as substantial as we should be, so that the grace of God shall come to us and that we may recognize it. We see that Satan is at work. Every mind that he can work, he will work, that these minds may not be diverted to Jesus Christ, to draw from the source of power that strength and that grace that he alone can impart. You know that the wickedness and murder and crime in the city of San Francisco, since its destruction by fire, has been without limit. And what are we doing? We must work to the best of our ability to let our light shine. Let it shine before men. Do not put it under a bushel in the house. Every one of us, that Christ is to make him known, by word and by actions. We are to let our light shine by calling upon others, by studying the scriptures with them, by praying with them, and in this way we shall find life. But it has been coming in among us to feel that our very life, as it were, depended upon our getting into first place. If we were fitted for it, God would have provided that we should be first. The very ones that are less prepared to carry through the subjects that we must carry through are the ones that feel this way. Seek the Lord as little children. Come to him as a child comes to his parents. Ask him to teach you and to lead you, and then say, "I believe, because you have said it." Ask, and ye shall receive. John 16, verse 24. What we want is to do all the good we can while we are in this world. The very first work is to begin in your household. Get your children to come into harmony with you. This will be a lesson to others who are round about you, that you have wisdom to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you will do this, the glory of God will come into your teaching. You will see of the salvation of God. But if you have your mind on doing something great that someone else is doing, that you could not possibly do, because you have not the experience nor the capability, you will miss your calling. You are to speak a word here in season, and a word there in season. Wherever you are, have the glory of God before you. Seek in everything that you do to glorify God. I am glad that Brother Haskell is here. It was not supposed that Brother Haskell could be here another year, but from the light given, the workers had not the preparation, with the intelligence of the years and grey hairs, so that they could understand how to balance the work, that it might go in the right direction. Therefore the Lord made it known that, and Brother Irwin, should serve another year. Now we want to know if you are going to help the aged man. He is not quite as old as I am. I am 83 years of age, and yet I feel such an intensity for the work. The day before I came here, I had no more idea that I could speak, because I had had an ill turn. I was very sick, and I said, "I cannot go." Then I thought, "Is this not unbelief? I will say I will go, and if I cannot have strength to speak, I will be humble enough to go to the home of Brother and Sister Haskell, and I will say, 'I have come down here, but I cannot say anything.'" Well, I came down, and when I stood up to speak to the people, I did not realize any weakness. I realized that angels of God were round about me. They honored my faith. There is a world to be saved. If I should begin to tell you some of our experiences in foreign countries, it would astonish you. We pitched our tents, and we would provide tents and food and clothing for the poor who were not able to attend the meetings unless we did this for them. And the Lord honored our faith, and souls were converted. There are men who are lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. There are those that profess to be Christians who want to be the highest or nothing. We will have trials before us that you have never dreamed of. But what we need to know is whether Christ is worthy to be served. When on earth he went from place to place on foot until he gathered a company of some 5,000 about him. Then, when they came to a nice grassy plot of ground, he commanded that they sit down. He asked his disciples how much food they had. 5 loaves and a few fishes, they said. Mark 6, verse 38. They brought them out, and he gave each a small parcel, and this amount fed the 5,000 souls. Then he said, "Gather up the fragments." John 6, verse 12. And they gathered up 12 baskets full of fragments. We do not have that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Unless we are willing to pass through some hardships, some trials, we know from experience what it means to open the work in new fields. We must work in the simplicity of godliness. If you work in this way when the difficulties and trials arise, you will press right forward. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. And you will work right along like a child under its parent, and you will know that Jesus Christ is leading and guiding you. You want that confidence in God that will never fail you. And I am so thankful that I can look back and see what has been done in those foreign countries. I want to tell you, the cherished feeling that unless you can fill a great place you cannot do anything will put you out of any place. Fathers and mothers are to fill a great place and to bring their children up in the admonition of the Lord. I have taken children and brought them up to manhood, and I know what it means. I am glad that Brother and Sister Haskell are here. Elder Haskell was with us working in new fields. We know how to press the battle to the gates, and we shall understand how to move on in humility and in the fear of God. I never question whether I am going to gain honor or not. I do not want it. What I want is to point souls to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to him who said, "I am the true vine." John 15, verse 1. Every branch that bringeth forth fruit is pruned. Do not feel when the pruning is being done that you are cast aside and not appreciated. God has a place for you somewhere, and he wants you to stand the test. If you will walk humbly with God, the Holy Spirit will be with you. What we need so much is to humble ourselves and to be willing to be partakers with Christ in his sufferings. He was called the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He took our infirmities upon him. He lifted the cruel cross. He came to our world, leaving behind his kingly crown and royal robe. He was a babe in Bethlehem. He went over the ground that he might know just how to sympathize with us. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he wants every one of us to speak a word in season here and there and somewhere else. He wants us to be laborers together with God. They could find no occasion to find fault with Christ and his teachings. They crucified him. Pilate said that he was without fault, and yet he gave him up to them. That was the justice that was manifested in there too. He was beaten with rods. The cruel thorns pierced his brow. They hung him upon the cross, and the nails were driven through his hands and feet. Then they said, "After all, he is nothing more than any of the rest of us. He dies like the rest of us." But while hanging on the cross, the penitent thief said to Christ, "When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me."
Luke 23, verse 42. And Christ made him the promise that he should be with him in paradise. Just think of it. That was what he said to the thief that acknowledged him in his humiliation. What we need is to be in that position where we will recognize Jesus as our helper. He will select those to do his work who get into a position where they are willing to do anything that the Lord would have them do. I am so glad that the Savior knows how to sympathize with poor humanity. He has borne the heaviest humiliations that anyone that lives can bear. He has borne them in our behalf. They killed him, and they laid him in the tomb. But angels of God were sent, and they came down from heaven and rolled away the stone from the sepulcher. And as Christ came forth from the tomb, he proclaimed over the rent sepulcher, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. Now, I want to bring these things before you so that none of you will think that you are going to pass along and be honored by this one and by that one. That is not what you are to think about. You are not to build yourself up in your own thoughts. Think about Jesus, and pray that he may give you grace to go through the trials that come to you so that you may see him in his kingdom. He will hear your prayer. But I want to say, dear friends, let us love Jesus, and let us consider that we can go to no greater depths in humility than did Christ. It was humiliation that Christ suffered all the way through, and if we are partakers of his divine nature, we will understand that we must be partakers of his sufferings, which will come to the Christian when placed in hard places.
There is a world to be saved. We need not make a flying machine or some wonderful invention.
What glory will that bring to Christ?
Not a particle.
What we want is to see saved the souls for whom Christ has died. We are not to occupy our time and our brain to institute something that will bring glory from the people to us. It makes them foolish, so foolish, that they never will accept and find a place with Christ upon his throne. They will be spending their time instituting things to imperil their lives. Jesus lived to make intercession for us, and he expects us to help him in carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord has permitted me to write because I was to present Christ and him crucified. I began when a mere child. And when I have been greatly afflicted, as I was for 11 months in Australia, that hand has still been enabled to hold the pen. During that time, I wrote 2,400 pages. Now you know that I have proved the Lord. I understand that trials are not to make us foolish or foolhardy. Do you think I can doubt the Lord? Not a bit of it. I love him because he first loved me and took a child of weakness. I have worked through the years since my childhood, and I have no idea of doubting the Lord now in my old age. I bless the Lord with heart and soul and voice. And now I will say that I hope to meet you all again when I have more strength. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I want every one of you to remember that you have a warfare before you. You must fight the battles of the Lord. Satan is seeking to gather in every soul that he can to work for him. You cannot afford to do. You want heaven, and when you humble yourselves before God, he will give you strength and fortitude and comfort.